The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
North Carolina gets the best of Duke again Saturday with much higher stakes, though. UNC sending Mike Krzyzewski into retirement with an 81-77 win. The Tar Heels now advance to face Kansas in tonight's national championship game, denying Coach K's 10th trip to the title game. There he is, my guy, Coach Seth Greenberg. Top of the morning to you, sir. Coach, what went wrong for Duke?
North Carolina. I mean, North Carolina, that was a high-level game, Molly. Oh, you talk about a high-level game. Two elite teams absolutely going at each other. Big shots made. You know, everyone was worried about Duke in terms of how would they handle the pressure. They handled the pressure seamlessly. What they didn't handle was Caleb Love, who happened in the second half for 26 points. If there's anything I thought that Duke could have done better, less three-point shots, 4 for 22. Look, this is a Duke team that only had 4 turnovers in the game. Pound that thing aside. Get paint touches, live in the paint. They had 48 points in the paint. They could have played through Paolo Banchero a little bit more and maybe brought Mark Williams back in the first half when he had the 2 fouls, maybe brought him back earlier. But this was a high-level game. North Carolina, Hubert Davis, great game plan. Caleb Love knocking down shots. R.J. Davis, a New York City guard, making plays in the first half. Carolina went out and won this game.
I completely agree with you, Coach, but I'm very thankful and very grateful to both Duke and North Carolina because I think it's arguably, if not arguably, the greatest rivalry in sports. I love it. For the most part, you always get a thriller. This year, that wasn't the case. Duke handled, you know, beat them pretty handily the first go-round. Carolina got them back on a Cameron Indoor finale for Mike Krzyzewski, but they gave us the kind of game you would expect to see from Duke, North Carolina, and I love it. Here's what I want to ask you. I know you said they could have played through Banchero a little bit more. There's no doubt about that. But I'm also going to hold him accountable, Coach, because I love his future. I love his upside. Please don't get me wrong. But what did we debate about? Even not even really debate about. We talked about last week. The assertiveness, the willingness to go get it. Caleb Love did that. And he's been doing it throughout the tournament. He shows up in the second half. That's what I love about this kid, Love. This dude, he shows up in the second half. I expected that from Banchero considering how he looked for the most part throughout this game. But when it really, really counted, I didn't see him. What do you say about that?
Well, Tyreek Hill's made 2 big 3s to kind of hold off a couple of Carolina runs. So, I mean, he got the ball in a position to score. He made shots. Wendell Moore made that big 3 to put the Duke up. But all season long, I've said I'd like to see. Paolo Banchero is a unique talent. 6'10", 250 pounds, can put it on the floor, can shoot the 3. In that moment, you wanted him to be the guy, like a lot of ways that Caleb Love was. Caleb Love, think about this. He wants the ball in that moment, Stephen A. He wants the ball, make or miss. All right, he wants the ball. He wants to make that play. That last shot he made over Mark Williams, outstretched hand off that high ball screen. Goodness gracious, you talk about embracing the moment. Think about the drives he had coming into the lane and the floaters. Think about the plays he made when that team needed someone to get out and score. And he only had 6 points in the first half. But in the second half, he puts his arms around the game. So Caleb Love made the plays down the stretch. R.J. Davis made them in the first half. Armando Bacot is a walking double-double.
Yeah.
I would have liked to seen Paolo Banchero be a little more assertive in the second half.
That's all I was saying.
Take over the game.
It didn't disappoint. But, Coach, I want to get to Kansas because, honestly, even though I'm a UConn fan, I was rooting for Villanova because I don't want the Big East to get stopped down. I know they were hurt. But Kansas, it looked like to me a pro team versus a college team. I mean, they are just loaded. UNC against Kansas tonight in the national championship game. What chance do you give Carolina?
Well, first of all, this Final Four, this championship game, Molly, is not about pros. It's about programs because both of these teams are programs. There's only one first-round draft choice playing in this game. If Armando Bacot is not healthy, Carolina struggles. I mean, just plain and simple, they can't play without him. They have no backup for Armando Bacot.
Zero.
What is Bill Self going to do? I'll tell you what Bill Self's going to do. First 4 minutes of the game, he's playing through David McCormick because that's what he does anyway. He likes to establish the low post. He's going to put Bacot in a ball screen, roll David McCormick down to the block, see how he's moving laterally. Then he's going to try to get him posted, maybe reverse the ball, search him across the lane, try to isolate him on the block. Because everyone knows, if you get Armando Bacot out of the game,
yeah,
Carolina's not the same team. They're plus 330 with him on the floor. They're minus 80 with him off the floor. On a bum angle, I think that it's really going to be a tough run for North Carolina. Unless, what's Love got to do with it?
That's
a
right.
lot. Unless Caleb Love just takes over the game.
Well, part of First Take, Coach, you got to give me something to say. I mean, you covered all bases. Because that's exactly where I was going, Coach. Caleb Love is their only chance.
Yeah.
Their only chance. Now, Bacot, listen, the brother had 21 rebounds, okay? I mean, you talk about back-to-back games with 20-plus rebounds. This dude has been something special. Give him credit where credit is due. I don't think he's that seasoned, that polished offensively. But obviously, when it comes to rebounding the basketball, limiting you to one shot, that's going to be pivotal in a game like this against Kansas. Because they got some ballers. Kansas is a clear favorite to win the national championship tonight. I think the chances of North Carolina of winning are minimal, but it's March Madness. It's Cinderella time. It's that time of the year where the improbable is not only happens, but it's likely more often than it is in any other sport. And I think that's potentially there tonight, but it's gonna have to be Love. Love's going to have to go ballistic and just go off in the second half the way he did. Because if he's hitting shots, the game is tight. And my philosophy, Coach, is very simple. When things get tight, palms get sweaty, and you know what else gets tight. And that, to me, is what this is all about. So Kansas is going to have to run away with this. If Carolina keeps it close and Love is getting off because he's pulling up from the parking lot, he's not shy about shooting. If he does that, that to me is the only shot Carolina has of winning this game. Of course, Bacot got to be in there to grab rebounds. But Caleb Love, he's got to be. He's got to resemble Steph Curry tonight on Steph Curry's good nights, by the way. He's got to resemble Steph Curry in order to pull this off. Otherwise, Kansas is winning the national championship.
Coach, you get the final word here.
Wait a second. First of all, did I stifle Stephen A? He said, wait, this is First Take. He didn't even get a chance to get his point across. This is a first. There's no doubt about it. This might never ever happen before. The last number 8 seed to win it all, Villanova. I'm just saying it is possible, but
it's possible.
Bacot's got to be healthy. If he's not healthy, it's going to put so much pressure.
Yes.
You know, they just don't have the depth. I mean, they go 6 deep. They don't have anyone that can match up front. Right. And this is a Kansas team. It's not just David McCormick. It's not just Ochai Agbaji. It's not just Remy Martin. It's Christian Brown.
It's everybody.
Wilson. They got so many bodies to throw at you. It's going to be a really tough run. But what a year. Yeah. What a job Hubert Davis has done with this.
Hubert Davis.
Absolutely.
Phenomenal job. Proud of the job that he's done. Very, very happy for him. Big time acquisition for the program, especially with Coach K leaving. Mm-hmm. And now you got Hubert Davis getting them there in his first year. We're going to see Carolina recruiting a lot better, you know, than, listen, believe it or not, even though they all were always recruiting. But I'll tell you this one. Yes, I said it. Caleb Love, Bacot's got to be there. But I'm telling you, Coach, this is going to be, without Bacot, they don't have a chance. They don't have a chance without Bacot. But if him on the floor.
Yeah.
Caleb Love just has to shoot the basketball.
I mean, Hubert Davis said he's going to be out there.
And Bill Self.
Only
one national title. Bill Self, phenomenal coach, tremendous program. You got to get one more than one national title when you're as great as Bill Self is. That's a big deal for tonight as well.
All right. Coach, we'll talk to you tomorrow. You enjoy the game and all the festivities. I'm looking forward to it.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia,
visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
The 86 Masters begins on Tuesday, and all eyes are on Tiger Woods. Yesterday, the golf great gave an update on his status, tweeting, "I will be heading up to Augusta today to continue my preparation and practice. I will be a game-time decision on whether I compete." Sources had told ESPN that Woods played an 18-hole practice round at Augusta National on Tuesday. With that, we welcome in my guy, golf analyst Michael Collins, who always brings a smile to my face. Michael, so good to see you. And obviously, sir, so good to see Tiger. He hasn't played on tour in more than a year after he was seriously injured in that car wreck outside LA. When many of us wondered if he'd ever play again, if he'd ever walk again even, what's the latest on his status?
Well, Molly, I was out and saw Tiger hitting balls yesterday. And the big thing that I got from Tiger that I had heard from somewhere else about when he came over and played 18 holes on Tuesday, it was on his feet. Tiger was not wearing his normal Nike shoes. He's actually wearing a FootJoy shoe because I've been told that it's just a lot more comfortable for him to walk what is probably the second hardest walk on the PGA Tour, with Kapalua probably being the first hardest. But Augusta is just a really tough walk. Tiger, when he was warming up, looked good. Didn't look like he was trying to do anything over the top. He actually played about 9 holes yesterday, but while he was warming up, was definitely cordial with a whole bunch of the players and looked to be in very good spirits. He just looked like he wasn't going after any shots really hard.
Michael, man, it's good to see you and good to talk to you as always, man. I made the point just a little while ago with Irvin Magic Johnson here that this is one of the first times I think that Tiger, assuming he obviously competes in the Masters, is playing with house money. It's the first time there's never been any expectations of him in his golf career. Because, you know, obviously we thought that, you know, he almost got killed, for crying out loud. And so when you look at it from that perspective, it's one thing for me to say that, but could you give us some insight, some perspective on how Tiger is feeling as it pertains to that? It's one thing to compete. It's another thing just to be out there having fun and just to be ecstatic that you're able to play the sport that you love.
That's very true. And, you know, let's be honest, man, me and you don't agree on a lot of stuff a lot of times, but on this thing, we agree 100%, my brother. And it's good to hear your voice as well and see you too. I will say this. We saw Tiger, like you said, in a place where he just thought, I'm just happy to be out here swinging a golf club again. We saw that at the father-son, the PNC. And if you remember, him and Charlie got into contention and made a run to try and win that tournament. And at that time, everyone was talking. Even Matt Kuchar, fellow competitor, said, Tiger's game is good enough right now. But, of course, Tiger was the one to say, look, my stamina's just not there. I can ride around in a golf cart all day and just jump out and hit a golf shot, which is basically what he was doing at the father-son. But to see him out here at a Augusta. No one expected him to show up here, and he still hasn't said that he's definitely going to play. The thing that you're exactly right about as well, just seeing Tiger on a golf course at Augusta, even if it was for 9 holes in practice, he's playing with that house money. Now, I think we know he played 9 yesterday. We know he's going to play 9 late this afternoon with Justin Thomas, and I think Harold Varner III might join him. Freddie Couples might even jump in that foursome as well. I think right now what Tiger's doing is, let me get some walking in and see how I feel the next day. Let me get some walking in and then see how I feel after that. Because here's the thing. He's got to go 18 on Thursday and 18 on Friday. And the thing to remember is the forecast for Thursday and Friday, the temperature's going to drop, which is good to keep the swelling down on an ankle. But for that 5 surgery back, not as good.
Let me ask you this before I let you get on out of here. It's one thing for us to speculate about what the world, what the sport of golf has been like without Tiger Woods. What is the sport of golf saying about what its sport has been like without Tiger Woods?
Man, here's the funny thing. If people ask all the time, hey, man, did the guys talk about Tiger when he ain't out there? Yeah. Everybody talks about Tiger. Players, caddies, volunteers, us in the media. I mean, people say, does Tiger still move the needle? Move the needle. Tiger's the needle, the stand, and the shipping crate it came in. It's still like that for him out here. Because, listen, how many times have we looked at Tiger and be like, well, he's done now, and he wins. Yep. Well, he's done now, and he wins. So everyone this week is 100% sure. Look, if he's here and he's going through everything he's going through to try and prepare, he's got to try and tee it up. Now, I might be the one guy who thinks everybody pumped the brakes just a little bit because there's a chance that on Wednesday he's, after all this preparation, goes, I don't think I can do that. You know, mm-hmm. Tiger's hard-headed enough that he might try, but everybody I've talked to, not one person doesn't think he's going to give it a go this week. And if he gives it a go, it's Tiger. He's the only dude in the history of sports that you go, are you going to bet against him? I'd like to, but mm-mm.
Yeah, beyond inspiring. He captured his first Masters 25 years ago, so just looking at that anniversary date. But it's unbelievable and improbable that he's even out there. And, Michael, the good thing is he's scheduled to speak tomorrow at 11 a.m. We will carry that press conference live. You will be back with us. We will have all the reaction. So looking forward to chatting with you again. Again, Tiger live tomorrow, 11 a.m. We'll carry it right here on First Take. Michael, have fun out there. We'll talk to you.
All right, Mike.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Congratulations to the South Carolina Gamecocks. 1 year after a heartbreaking loss in the Final Four to eventual champion Stanford, number one South Carolina found redemption, earning the program's second national championship with a victory over UConn last night. National Player of the Year, Aaliyah Boston, recorded her 30th double-double of the season and was named the Final Four's most outstanding player. Dawn Staley, now 2-0. As a coach in national championship games as the Gamecocks become the eighth program to win multiple national titles in NCAA women's basketball history. Our analyst, Andrea Carter, joining us now. Andrea, is this your First Take debut? Because I don't think we've had you on before when I've been on, so I'm pretty pumped about this.
This is my first take.
Welcome
from Minnesota. Thank you for doing this with us. I know you were up late with all the action. This one hurts. I'm a UConn Husky, but North Carolina, this is the question they want me to ask. Is South Carolina the new dynasty in women's college basketball?
Yes. To give you a one-word answer, yes, South Carolina is. But to elaborate, in my opinion, to have a dynasty, you have to win championships. And I know that you said, Molly, that this is Dawn Staley's second. Yeah. But for me personally, it's her third, in my opinion, because in 2020, when that tournament got canceled, they were the number one team in the nation, and I think it was their national championship to lose. So it really could have been three out of the last 6 years. So championships for one, and then two, you have to have talent that trusts the process. They have a number one recruiting class in the nation this year. Nobody in that class played more than 15 minutes. They had Camilla Cardoso, who was ACC Freshman of the Year last year, come to South Carolina to play behind Aaliyah Boston. So when you've got championships and then you have true talent coming in to patiently wait their turn, that's what I think a dynasty represents. And they've got a great class coming in. So I would say South Carolina is creating a dynasty right now.
Well, listen, I wanted to stay there because we all love and respect UConn and Gino Auriemma and the great job that he's done throughout the decades. We know how phenomenal he is. But I'm looking at Dawn Staley, and when I mentioned her because I covered Temple, people assuming I said she went to Temple. No, she's from Philadelphia. She went to Virginia. She's from Philadelphia, okay? And that's how I knew her. And to consider the job that she's doing, Andrea, I just want you to put in perspective, how has she been able to pull this off, to go to South Carolina and establish and build the program that she's built? What has she been able to do that few have ever been able to do in the history of women's college basketball? We talk about, listen, we talked about Pat Summitt back in the day, and obviously Gina Auriemma still, and of course Notre Dame and Stanford, the programs that they built. But what Dawn Staley has done at South Carolina has been special. How has she done it?
It's been incredible. You know, I remember being at Tennessee when I committed in high school to Tennessee. One of my best friends committed to South Carolina, and Dawn Staley, that's Tiffany Mitchell. She's one of the players that laid the groundwork for what they have here. And I remember being like, you're going to South Carolina? And now I'm like, oh, yeah, that's why she picked South Carolina. But really the way she's done it, Stephen A., is just by being herself. I mean, she, the way that she connects to her players, the way that she keeps it real with them, I have sat in her practices and I've wanted to be on the team because she keeps it real. She lays it out. She lets everybody know what's expected of them, and all they have to do is achieve it. The way she explains the game, it always makes sense. She answers any questions that they have. And for me, she does the best job at letting them be themselves, but also keeping them in line and holding them to her standard. It's such a great balance of, I love you, we're going to have a great time, but this is how we do things. And it's been consistent year after year. And now the championships and the success is really starting to come through.
Yeah, and she's building something special. But let's look ahead to next year. We need to get back to UConn because they're looking to build. It's a fairly young team, right? Still having stars. I mean, Beckers and Fudd both coming back. But then South Carolina, Aaliyah Boston, only a junior. But the game's leading scorer, Destiny Henderson, will graduate along with some key players. I know UConn obviously needs some more bigs. But who do you think is going to have a better returning team? Is it South Carolina or UConn?
You know, Molly, I'll give UConn credit because Paige is obviously incredible. I mean, she's making shots in yesterday. One leg, turnaround, jump shots. UConn's offense at times was when she didn't give the basketball up, when she just kept the basketball in her hands. That was their best offense, but she's not 100% healthy. So to bank on what she's going to be like in her return, mind you, a full summer to get healthy might be the best thing for Paige. Mm-hmm. But right now, we don't know what's going to happen with Paige. Aaliyah Edwards has been phenomenal, but struggled with consistency this season. Nika Mule, a great defender, but her offense has to get going. So for me, South Carolina has a stronger returning class because you know what you're going to get from Aaliyah Boston. Bree Beal brings the defense, but she also was very consistent on the offensive end. Zaya Cook can give you a bucket. Letitia Mihir, I think, is going to have a breakout season. That's the number one class in 2019. They're going to be seniors next year. They're going to be seniors that lost in the Final Four, and they're going to be seniors that have won a national championship. It's really
experience.
Hard to compete with that senior class. Exactly.
Yeah, I could see them winning another national title. We're talking about a Dawn Staley that inherited a program in 2008 that had never been to a Final Four, and now she's won two national titles and has built a powerhouse. So I'm paying attention to that. South Carolina, the favorite. I get it. Let me go to my favorite players, Andre. Let me tell you this, okay? Paige Beckett, I know what she brings to the table. I get it. But what about Caitlin Clark? I mean, this is the Steph Curry of women's college basketball. I know she didn't have a strong showing in the NCAA tournament. Great shooters have off nights, damn it. That's what happened. She'll be back. And what I want to know is what can I expect from her next season and what can I expect from that program? Because I'd love to see them make a deep run just so I can watch her.
You can expect a whole lot of buckets from Caitlin Clark. You know, if there is one thing that she's going to do, it's get you a bucket. I think her range is going to extend. Her handles are going to get tighter. But my favorite thing about Caitlin Clark, though, Stephen A., is how she finds her teammates. You're talking about triple doubles. I've never gotten a triple double. I've never even dreamed of getting a triple double. It's just that difficult. Triple double machine. She finds her teammates. I think the biggest piece for Iowa is to put a few more scorers around her just to give her a little more space. She has to work so hard to do the things that she does. That's what makes it so impressive. Give her one more scorer. Give her a couple more options. She's got Sedano down low. I love that for her. Give her more options, and she's going to do even more with what she has.
She is the first female I've seen pull up from 30 on a regular.
Yes.
30.
Yeah. Easily.
Yeah.
Easily.
Something special.
Yes.
Andrea Carter, you've been crushing it. I've been watching you. It's so great to finally have you here on First Take.
Welcome aboard.
Come back and join us again. So appreciate the time. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take pod. Have a fabulous day. KD can't do it all by himself, carrying the load all season despite a 55-point performance. No, I didn't stutter. The Nets fall to the Atlanta Hawks on Saturday. So here's how their playoff picture currently looks. The Nets have already clinched a spot in the play-in tournament, still couldn't improve their seeding with four games remaining on the season. Three of those four final games are at home. Tim Legler here with us. Legs, always good to see you.
Happy good to see you. My good brother. To see you. Yes, good to be here.
What do you think's more likely, a Brooklyn Nets early exit or a deep playoff run?
It's a very dangerous question because of the two people we're talking about that wear a Brooklyn uniform. Mm-hmm. Okay. But I'm going to say more likely early exit than deep run. Because how do you define deep run? For me, deep run is conference finals.
Yeah.
Otherwise, win one round is not a deep playoff run. So get to the conference finals or lose early in a best of seven. Now, I think they'll get out of the play-in. Mm-hmm. I do believe that. No matter where they finish, I think they'll get out of the play-in. I just don't think this team does something you're going to need to do in a seven-game series to beat the teams at the top, and that is string together defensive possessions when you have to have it. Because it's one thing to say, look, KD and Kyrie can be so special every night they give you a chance to win, and that's true. But you're not going to win that way every night in a playoff series. There's going to be adjustments to those two guys. So now, can you win another way? Can you grind it out by one? Being down six, that means you got to string together three stops to get back in the game. Being up six, can you get stops to protect the lead? Both of those things play into a playoff series much more so than any given night in the regular season, because now you have a team that can lock in to just those two guys. And every game you make other adjustments to them. Because even if you bring them down to be 10% less efficient than they are in the regular season, right. Well, now you're going to have to rely on some other way to win a game, and I just don't think they've got it. They're a soft defensive team, and they're a small defensive team. That's going to be a problem, I think, when you play against teams like Milwaukee, Miami in particular. Most likely, though, Milwaukee.
I don't blame you one bit for feeling the way that you do, but damn it, I ain't flowing with you on this. If you're going to tell me that I got to look into a camera with a national television audience watching and say that it's more likely that Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving get bounced out early than late, I'm going to go the latter. I'm going to go late because of KD.
You heard when we said the stakes are for late. We said Eastern Conference Finals.
Define deep run.
Yeah, that's right. Eastern Conference Finals. That's what we're saying.
Deep run for me is a game seven of a semifinals or an Eastern Conference Finals, bro.
See how he's giving himself an out?
Don't count it.
Competitive in the second round. It's not a deep playoff run.
If it goes to a game seven and you're one game away from a conference finals, all I'm saying is that's not satisfactory to me, but it does qualify as deep. It qualifies. You ain't getting bounced out swept in the second round. You ain't getting bounced out in the first round. I mean, that's a game seven of a conference semifinals. All I'm saying to you is that that's my definition of deep. But that would still be unacceptable for me based on what they've gone through and they put us through. And let me say this, Tim Legler, because I'm going to say this with you right in the tendency, okay? People are going to react to what I'm about to say very, very negatively.
Okay.
I don't believe a damn word that's coming out of Ben Simmons or his camp's mouth. Somebody needs to say it. I'm going to say it. I don't want to hear anything about injuries and all this. I'm not buying it. And the reason I'm not buying it is because of that grievance that was filed for him to recoup the $20 million that he lost by missing all of those games for the Philadelphia 76ers. Okay? My point is this. If you're not playing now, it's entirely plausible for me to deduce that first it was the mental health issues, and then you get traded to Brooklyn and you're clapping and you're traveling with the team and you're smiling and you're having a good time and all that stuff. Then it was the back. I've never seen anybody with a back injury get off the bench as quick as he's got up to high five everybody. This brother don't look that. He don't look that bad, okay? He just does. Somebody needs to say it. So I'm going to say it, okay? The point is that by sitting out, it gives credence issues, whether they were back health issues or mental health issues, so you could buffer your case for that damn grievance so you could get some of that money back for not playing a damn minute.
So he hasn't gotten the money yet?
He hasn't gotten enough. Okay. It's a grievance. They took
right.
it.
He handled it the way he had to exactly. by claiming what was wrong with
that's
him to
right.
try to get this
exactly.
money back.
Exactly. And I think that's got something to do. I have no inside information, no report or nothing like that. I'm just saying as a spectator, I don't believe a damn word of it. And I'm sick of it. I'm sick and tired of these people not playing games but wanting to get paid for missing work, okay? Having said all of that, Kevin Durant is something special. And we know Kyrie Irving is something special. And we also know there's question marks, even with Miami. Remember what they've been going through recently until they righted the ship a little bit. Milwaukee's up and down, up and down. I think they can be had. I'm not saying Brooklyn will beat them definitively. What I'm saying is if you ask me, I got to pick a choice between them getting bounced out early or late. I'm going to go late because I'm going to roll with Kevin Durant.
That's why I said it's a dangerous question. Look, you got two guys that have proven they will not run from the light. They run toward the light.
That's right.
When the lights get turned up.
That's right.
Right? Obviously.
That's right.
Even that game they played in Philly on March 10th, which was one of the strangest regular season environments ever.
Yeah.
Who were the two guys that got hyped by that environment?
And destroyed.
Those two guys.
And destroyed.
So, listen, that's why I said it's dangerous. But here's the thing. I just don't think you go from what they are defensively, being that porous, to taking on a team. And look, they could be an 8 seed. You're talking about playing potentially
about
Miami and Milwaukee in the first round.
No. I'm talking about our score.
That's what it's
going to
take
game
after
game. I'm never going to come to you and say to you, Brooklyn's going to win 100-98.
Yeah.
But would they win 130-125? Yeah, I could see that.
But here's the thing, Stephen A., if they play the Bucks in the first round, Giannis is getting 40 a game in that series.
I agree.
40 a game.
And so is KD. And so is KD.
But
that's what I'm saying.
But I think Milwaukee with two other stars.
Right.
Better supporting cast, better defensively.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
You can't say Ohio State. What college would you have gone to?
In a different world, I probably would have gone between, and this is going to ruffle a lot of feathers, it would have been between Duke and North Carolina.
Stephen A., you know I love the Mannings.
Right.
But having Bird and Tarazi, a little biased last night. They had the solo cups out there having a lot of fun. Obviously, LeBron joining them. We know he went straight from high school. Where would you have liked to see him play, Duke or North Carolina?
North Carolina. It was actually my dream. Obviously, I couldn't shine these people's shoes. I wasn't good enough. But it was my dream to go to North Carolina. Dean Smith, the Dean Dome, that Carolina blue, Chapel Hill. And then you think about Jordan and Worthy, Kenny Smith. Vince Carter, Antoine Jameson, the list goes on and on. LeBron would have fit right in to that culture. LeBron's personality and everything like that was more fitting for UNC than Duke, in my estimation, even though obviously he would have been phenomenal in either scenario. But I think that LeBron James at the Dean Dome would have been heir apparent to Jordan, Vince Carter, LeBron. That's what I think.
No.
Kobe would have been Duke. Kobe would have went to Duke, God rest his soul. Kobe told me that.
I agree with you.
No, he said so.
I agree with
that.
Even the personality.
And the personality.
You're right. The whole
thing
fit. I'm with
Kobe,
you
Duke,
on both of those.
LeBron's Carolina.
I co-sign. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks for being with us. Thanks, Magic.